You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome back to the Big Strong S Boys podcast. Difficult one, this one, isn't it? Don't even really know where to start. It's going to be an hour of football chat from four probably quite miserable blokes, but lots of people have been messaging us non-stop since defeat to Southampton asking when on earth this podcast is out, so we thought we best do it. I won't lie, it's been a pretty dreadful weekend as well for all my sporting teams. Of course, Leicester losing, my Sunday league team losing. I work for a rugby league team. They lost pretty badly this weekend. So I won't lie, for the last 24 hours, I've been finding many ways to distract myself away from talking Leicester. I even muted myself from pretty much every group chat I'm in because I didn't want to read the misery and doom. I can understand why it's there. Of course I can. It's been pretty crap. So for the last 24 hours, I've been on Chelsea's Twitter feed. Lots of people may have seen this, but I've replied to every single post and picture of Ben Chilwell and Wesley Fofana with emojis of snakes. And I've just replied to a Wesley Fofana tweet, and I've now been abused by a barrage of the Chelsea Twitterati, and one person has just said I look like a sex offender. So that's how my weekend's been. Jack, happy birthday, mate. How's your weekend been?
Thanks, mate. Bloody good-looking sex offender if you are one. You're not.
Am I?
No, you're not.
No.
Thanks, mate. Leicester have absolutely, once again, ruined my weekend. Completely. I feel like I've been quite spoiled this weekend, but it's a shame I've not been spoiled by my football team because they were dire. Don't know what to say apart from that.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm going to do is probably throughout the course of the next probably 15, 20 minutes is find as many ways possible to not talk about the game. Of course, we will get round to it at some point. But Jordan, what have you done for the last 24 hours, mate, to almost distract yourself? Or have you not wanted to distract yourself? Have you been wanting to kind of just shout at anyone who will listen about what you had to watch yesterday?
I've barely spoke about it, really. Annoyingly, our game was off this morning because we couldn't get a referee. So we just went down the pub and played a bit of pool. Yesterday, didn't go to the game, actually. Did a 90K bike ride for Alzheimer's research, which was
good man.
A worthy cause in Cambridge. It was a good ride, but it was a bit chilly and a bit windy. And then, unfortunately, came back and watched Leicester lose again. And then to compound my misery, I woke up. I thought Dad might get me a curry in, and he got a Chinese, and that really hit home. What a bad day it had been. But other than the football, as usual, it's been quite a good weekend.
Right, first question. Rick, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you, mate.
We've been having some technical problems. Rick, I want to know what you've been doing for the last 24 hours.
Right. Well, what have I been doing? I've been fuming, mate, with the football. Hang on one second, because Darcy just... Yeah, I mean, the only reason why I've not launching straight in with seven bales of shit here is because it's Jack's birthday, and I'm trying to be positive, and I've done him a few words, Ric Flair's Poetry Corner. But yeah, yesterday was pretty atrocious. I know we can probably, in a couple of days' time, dissect it a bit better, and the performance perhaps wasn't as bad as others this season. But, you know, oh, is there really any positives right now when we're in such a bad state? But, yeah, last 24 hours I've just been looking after children, ranting about Leicester to anyone, usually myself. Do you know what? This is no word of a lie. I rang my mum up yesterday.
Did you?
Just to see whether I actually exist, because what I'm watching at the minute is beggar's belief. And I was like, is this real? Honestly, are we having to put up with this shit? So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think positives is probably a difficult one, isn't it, to find? Yeah, I'm not sure if anyone's going to dig around. Actually, interestingly, I know Jack's prepared a PowerPoint presentation, which we'll get to shortly. So for people listening on the podcast at the moment, go watch on YouTube and you'll be able to watch Jack's PowerPoint presentation, which I'm very much looking forward to. Also, need to mention as well, lots of people over the course of the last few months have been saying we need to get on Apple podcasts. We have now done that. So whatever way you're listening to us, if you would ordinarily listen on Apple and you'd rather do that, you now can do that. Just the usual way. Search Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast. Also, I want to mention something again, which isn't about Leicester, and that is Chelsea. I know I've mentioned it already. I'm sounding a little bit obsessed. But of course, they beat Leeds at the weekend 1-0. Lads, it was their third win in 16 games. You know, this is a team which probably had aspirations of winning a trophy at the very least this season, have spent somewhere close to £1 billion, and they narrowly edged past relegation threatened Leeds at home by a solitary goal. And if anyone's seen their Twitter feed over the last 24 hours, and I say, I know I sound like the celebration police here, but it's as if they've won the bloody World Cup. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Can I just say something on the celebration, please? Because yeah, that is the best Twitter account going.
It is.
Just alone for the picture of Richard Keys. It's utterly sensational.
Like, I do have a point, though. I don't. Have you seen Chelsea's feed? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. But anyway, just to get away, like the Twitter police, the Twitter celebration police do great work. And if you don't follow them, you should.
Yes.
Because that'll cheer up your day. But I haven't actually seen that. The only time I've seen their feed is you commenting on it with snake emojis.
Yeah. So the problem is that, you know how the internet works when you start commenting on things? It now starts appearing on my feed more because they think obviously I'm a fan.
Are you getting links to, like, you know, at ChiliFans21 or something?
I'm now getting everything.
Teenagers with, yeah.
But I don't follow any of these accounts. So now all Twitter's doing is just putting it more on my feed, which means that if it's possible to run out of snake emojis, I think that's probably going to happen in the next week. So I think it's best if anyone who looks after that Chelsea Twitter account just to block me and save me from myself. But that's what I've been doing to distract myself for the last 24 hours. I am actually now going to stop doing that because it is quite unprofessional, and I had to remind myself that I am, in fact, 33 years old. Right. Is there anything else anybody wants to talk about before we talk about Leicester? No. Actually, Jack, come on, tell us what you've been up to with your birthday. You is this the big green thing, the barbecue?
Yeah, I bought a big green egg. Well, I didn't buy. My wife bought me a big green egg for my birthday. Mm. Sort of. I don't know whether it was her algorithms went mental after, you know, Rick started talking about egging and things like that. But
yes,
I was very chuffed with that. So even though it's about 5 degrees, we got the barbecue out today.
Nice.
Never too early for the barbecue. I now stink of charcoal. The worst things you can smell of it. Anyway. But yeah, no, I'm very happy actually. I've got a barbecue and I've got an ice bath in my backyard. What more could a 35-year-old bloke want?
Exactly. And obviously, Jack, with it being your birthday, of course, Rick has prepared you a poem. When would you like your poem? Would you like it at the end or now?
I don't know. Like, Rick, what
have you got a preference, Rick?
Yeah, I'll go off Rick because he knows what words it is. Am I going to be offended and storm out? or
no. I think you should like it. Should we do it now? Let's get it over and done with. Then we can get to the negativity part of the podcast, which is Leicester City Football Club. Right. Are you ready? I've had to switch screen, so hopefully you can still hear me and I've not cut off. Okay.
You've gone portrait, which ruins it a little bit for people watching on YouTube. But
and it also looks like you're shouting because you're frozen, but that's quite appropriate.
But
you can still hear me, yeah?
The most important thing, yeah, exactly.
Oh, what? If I turn it that way, is that better?
Well, it's not turning because it's frozen.
Hang on. There's no way of me being able to read this.
While you do that, do you want me to play out some of the little sound clips I've got? Which
yeah, do that whilst I try and sort this.
I mean, I think Darcy's running wild as well.
I didn't know who Graham Torrington was.
How do you not know criminal. Graham Torrington?
No, I didn't know, because you made a joke the other day being like, when we had Graham Smith on, it'd be like, oh, it's not Graham Torrington, is it? I was like, I don't know.
But you're 35, right, Jack? So it's... Yeah. So no, but for the younger listeners here, they probably don't know who Graham Torrington is, and for the older people, he was basically the Dear Deirdre of local radio for years and years and years. I think it was Late Night Love, wasn't it? On from 10 p.m. Most weekdays, and yeah, I must have listened to that a million times. But it was on the way home from some kind of sports club, or I remember the first time when I was a teenager and I was allowed like a radio in my room. Listening to Graham Torrington before I went to bed. Yeah, mate, he's a legend. He's an icon.
Yeah. Well, I know he is now. And I think we do follow him on Twitter. But yeah, I didn't know who he was before. So that's, yeah, it's been a good addition to my life, really, just, you know, over the last few weeks.
Right. So we've got some sound bites throughout the course of, well, I think we're just going to start using them in general now, again, just to lighten the mood a little bit. I added this one on the end of last week's podcast. This is the legend that is Nigel Pearson, which we can use, I think, now fairly frequently.
Apologies for last night. So,
do you know what game that was after, by the way? Or what was the context of that?
It wasn't after a game. It was after
he was apologising to someone.
It was after the Chelsea game when he had, you know, when he had, when he said waxing or waning, prick. I have an encyclopedic knowledge of all the YouTube, of all the press conferences over that period.
Yes.
Yeah. It's one of the greatest things. But yeah, that was, someone will now say you've got it wrong, but I'm pretty sure he had a go at some Irish journalist and said, have you watched us this season?
Yes, it was Pat.
No, I don't think it was Pat Murphy. I think it was the Chelsea one, because it was midweek and then we had a game like not long after that, and he had a right go at someone, and then he's gone in the next morning and, you know, and I owned up for his mistakes and apologized. I think, correct me if I'm wrong,
if anybody knows for 100% certain, let us know. I've got this one as well, which may be lost on some people, but this one makes me laugh. This was from Love Island about 5 or so years ago, maybe even more.
Do you want me to rap anyone, Liv and Mood?
No, we don't.
Always makes me smile. That was Chris Hughes about 5 years ago having a massive argument. And yeah,
that was Danny Ward in the changing rooms after the game last night.
Well, exactly. I think little clips like this is ideal. And also, we've got this one for no real reason. We just think it's funny.
Come on, who are you then?
Ronnie Pickering.
Who?
Ronnie Pickering.
Who?
Ronnie Pickering.
Who the fuck's that?
Yeah, me.
I mean, I suppose we could use that as the new Who Are You music, couldn't we?
Yeah, that would, it would fit in. And people would welcome a change.
Well, you say that. Harry Pickering, who played for Blackburn, scored yesterday. And every time he was on TV, I kept shouting, Harry Pickering at the TV. Yeah.
And the good thing is we've managed to play 3 sound bites and now Rick's disappeared.
Exactly. Yeah. Rick, can you hear us? I think he's parenting once again. Wow, I think we've done about 15 minutes yet, and we've not actually done anything about the game so far. And I have to say, I'm enjoying this a lot more than I predicted I would. I think it's probably going to get a little bit more miserable. But of course, we've still got this as well.
the one that kicked it all off.
Yeah.
Which is that Jordan... the last goal we scored in the Premier League that just played that? No. We scored a couple after that.
Yeah,
but when we play against Chelsea, they're like, the man on the PA will just be doing that constantly, trying to get us to find one to stick one in the net. Oh, I think I'll go up there and just keep pressing it.
Right. So look, of course, we are going to talk about the game very, very shortly. We are going to get Jack's PowerPoint presentation, which I'm looking forward to. We're going to get Rick's poem for Jack's birthday. I stuck on Twitter yesterday after the game a question about the manager, because, of course, that's going to dominate things once again. So what I've said is if it happens, if Brendan does lose his job, who do you want in? And please make it realistic. And I have to say, lots of the comments and suggestions weren't particularly realistic, but I don't think the options are particularly long anyway. But we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Rick, are you back with us and are you ready for your poem?
I am. I'm so sorry, lads.
You're all right.
I am ready. I've managed to get the poem up so that you can still see me landscape. Okay, are you ready for it then?
Yes, mate.
Yeah? Right. Okay, then. Happy birthday, Jack. Today you're 33. Watching Leicester this season's like contracting BSE. All four of us share a condition called IBS, otherwise known as permanently having the shits. Come on now, Brendan. I'm begging you. It's time to call it quits. I've never met a man who's got a bigger dislike for Aston Villa. They've got the footballing ability of Momo Silla. This year, poor Jack has moved back to Leicester from Kentish Town, and sadly, it's the season that Leicester are on the verge of going down. Cheer up, though, mate, because when you're 34 and we're in the Championship, we'll still have to put up with that crap little clap he does on those heinous chap lips. Every weekend on the pod, you can find the four of us bickering and playing voice over notes of Ronnie Pickering!
Who?
Pickering! My friend, the end.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Great work, Rick.
And now we're going to point out that, inaccurate. Yeah, that Jack's actually 35 today, but let's not get in the way of a good poem.
I did lose two years due to COVID, so I'd still say I'm 33.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we do all have IBS.
Yeah. So, do you know the worst thing?
Cheers,
the
Rick.
Worst thing? you know the age brackets that you get you have to fill in how old you are. I'm in a new age bracket now, so it used to be like 25 to 34. I'm now 35 to 44, so I think that puts me in like a high risk or a higher risk health category, so I should probably start doing all sorts of stuff. But
yeah, that was a moment when with your rail cards, when you would go over, is it something to 30?
It's 30.
And then, And so that's long gone now. But I tell you what, Jack, good news. If you want to do high rocks, mate, you go up into the older category now.
The elite, the middle elites or whatever it is.
So you move up into the 35s. I think that'll be
good.
Does that
mean I get to keep my top on? Like everyone has to keep their top on in that age group? Yeah. Okay.
When you get over 35, you know, you get the option whether to keep your vest on or not. Mm.
Good. Like I said, Jake, I'm considering it. I'm considering it.
I think that the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast doing high rocks is absolutely what we need to do.
To be honest, mainly I'm considering it so that when you go away, we can still get you on the podcast because we can bring our kit and we can all be there.
Well, I have mentioned I'm going to Malaga in 5 weeks, so I'm away again that weekend. So either we all go to Malaga and compete in high rocks and then we can do the podcast there, or you're going to have to make do without me again and it'll be a little phone call in. So 5 weeks, boys. Got plenty of time to train.
We'll be down by then anyway.
Yeah. We won't be doing podcasts by then. We're all well enough. Right. I think probably close to 20 minutes now we've been doing. We haven't spoke about the football. Should we do it?
We're going to have to.
Right.
Go on then.
I don't even know where to start, to be completely honest, other than the fact that it wasn't very good. I have got something in terms of stuff I want to get off my chest, which I'll probably hold back for a little while. I think the concern or the frustration was that once again, we dominated early on and didn't take the lead. And the moment Southampton scored, we lose the game. And I think it's just the Villa game, isn't it? Where we've not lost the game of football, where we've gone behind, which is, well, actually, sorry, the Spurs one as well. But still, point being is it's an alarming issue with this club, isn't it? And with this team, that they just can't seem to ever bounce back. When they go behind, you know, the mental strength of this side is pretty appalling. And unfortunately, I do put that at Brendan Rodgers' door. Lots of things I don't necessarily do. But I did say during the week when I was with Owen on When You're Smiling podcast, I said it was a must not lose game. If we did lose, I would then finally say publicly that I think it's time for Brendan to go. And that's where I'm at, boys. Who wants to step up first?
I mean, I probably had better, seeing as though I am firmly in the minority, certainly on this podcast. I thought yesterday, performance-wise, the performance was okay. Not brilliant, but certainly good enough, I thought, to get 3 points. Certainly good enough to get a point out of the game. If you look at the 11 that was chosen, other than Christensen, it was the same team that hammered Tottenham. So we know exactly what this team's capable of when they finish their chances. And I did prepare some stats, but I've been blown out of the water by Jack's PowerPoint presentation. But if you look at up to and including Crystal Palace, we created the most chances out of all nine teams that are, I think, are in the relegation battle. Now, we didn't hit the target with any chance, and that isn't the manager's fault. You know, first 20 minutes or so, first half an hour, we were the better side. Ricardo had an opportunity, I think, where he was caught in two minds whether to shoot or pass. I think that was just down to lacking match practice, to be honest.
I agree, yeah.
Then the Iheanacho header, I know, Jake, you said the cross came in at pace, but watching it back, I mean, that's absolutely criminal. I would say that Vardy would have scored that. Prime Vardy would have. The Vardy we're seeing at the minute, I think it's time for him to hang up his boots, to be honest. Especially at Leicester, unfortunately. Not my only concern, the penalty came from Mendy, who could have drove forward and carried the ball 20, 30 yards out, stopped, turned around, passed it back to Castagna.
Yeah.
All he could do was launch it downfield. And, you know, it is a penalty. As a defender, I've been in that situation. I'm sure you have, Jake, but it's very difficult to control where your arms are going in that situation. But it is a penalty. I was delighted for Ward to make the save. But the problem was that woke them up a little bit, gave them a bit of confidence.
Yeah, it did.
Their goal, Iheanacho gave the ball away, not strong enough, couldn't hold the ball up. Suter was caught in two minds, I think, whether to press high with Fez, who all he does is press high, and if he doesn't get the ball, they're pretty much in. And I think Ward came in, to be honest, for a bit of unfair stick for the goal, because if that's Casper, I don't think anyone says a word about that, to be honest. I think Ward's just got that reputation. And then in the second half, I thought we were better again in the second half. Iheanacho's missed an absolute sitter at the back post. For me, the worst of the three is the goalkeeper gives it on the edge of the box and he just pass it in the corner, mate. He just blazes it over the bar. Now, I said yesterday, three chances, gilt-edged chances. They're three of the best chances I've seen all season. And a capable striker scores one. A good striker gets two and a proper Harry Kane striker gets three. And he's missed all three. Now, the same people that want Rodgers out were saying start Iheanacho. So he started Iheanacho and he's cost us the game single-handedly, in my opinion, because he's missed three sitters and give the ball away for the goal. It was a true 1 out of 10 performance, if I'm being honest. And in the Suter one, I felt sorry for him because the keeper come out and all he needs to do is head it down and it's in, but that's just the way it's going for us at the minute. But my main concern is turning these performances into points. And that's why I'm still positive, because I still think the performance level's there. But against Man United in the first half, we missed two great chances. Barnes missed two great chances at Forest. Rick mentioned earlier, Fulham at home, we battered them. And there are probably others. I think the performance level's there, but we're not picking up the points. We're not scoring goals. We're not clinical enough. And, you know, the Tottenham game is an example. If everything goes right, what we can do. But that kind of, to me, has the hallmarks of a side that are just obviously bereft of confidence. But, you know, those teams that just completely go to bits at the end of the season, that seems like it could be us at the minute. Obviously, the injuries are a worry. And his kind of refusal to change the system. I can't believe yesterday he didn't put Ricardo and Castagna out wide in a 3-4-3 or a 3-5-2, which he did a lot in the COVID season. And he seemed to refuse to do that. I mean, I can't believe Iheanacho played 90 minutes, to be honest. But that said, I mean, I still think we'll stay up. I mean, we're definitely in a relegation scrap now. There's no two ways about it. And the result against Blackburn and Southampton, that's a really bad week. The results against United and Arsenal, you can kind of let off a little bit, but the last two, you can't. So, look, with 2 points clear with a game in hand, I would still stick with the manager for now. But it's very worrying. At the end of the day, you just cannot afford to miss chances like that at that level.
Mm. Jack, we'll come to you. Do you want to do your thoughts on the game?
Can you get the slides up?
Yeah. So
I think it's appropriate just to follow George after that. Because George, I admire George's optimism, but, and I really hope I'm wrong on this. And if I am wrong, anyone implicated in this presentation has my permission to egg me. Like, they can egg me if this goes wrong.
So are you saying if Leicester stay up, we can egg you?
Yeah, fine.
Oh, wow.
Brilliant. Wow.
I will take an egging for Leicester City to stay in this league. That's how much it means to me, all right?
Wow.
So we should mention, now on YouTube, we are seeing a slide produced by Jack Holmes, labelled, right, titled Reasons We're Going Down. Jack, talk us through your presentation, please.
Well, the title of the presentation is Reasons We're Going Down, because we are going down. You can sack the manager. Might be the right thing to do. We'll still go down. There is...
Tell me when I need to move the slides on, by the way.
There are a number of reasons why. I'm going to explain... This is attempting to be comprehensive, but it will not be comprehensive because there are many, many reasons we're going down. But I'll go to the first reason. And I think the slide... No, it doesn't say Brendan Rodgers. There's a picture of Brendan Rodgers. There are two things Brendan, in my opinion, gets wrong. One, he cannot keep anyone fit. I mean, he can't keep himself fit by the looks of it. They're all getting injured in training. And it has been a perennial problem for the best part of 3 years. He sacked the physio. It's gone on long enough to know that he obviously works them too hard in training to keep them fit. The players look like they're on their last legs. And yeah, that's the first reason I would say Rodgers is implicated. Hold on that slide. The second reason Rodgers is implicated is I think he's lost complete confidence in himself, to be honest. He did some interview last week saying, I basically need to become a new manager in the summer. I'm sorry, what? Like, you can't reinvent yourself entirely, but he's basically saying that. And that says to me, he knows deep down he is done here. We may be on a bit of hope that he gets here to the end of the season, but one way or another, I think he's run to the end of the cycle. We gave him a 5.5 year contract, but it was basically a 6 year contract, far too long for a manager, really. 6 year contracts don't really exist. I think the average is about 3. It's too long. That's reason number one. Reason number two.
There you are, sir.
Whatever happened in the summer, or what didn't happen in the summer, momentum is very important in football. And we had an opportunity to address that in the summer. I still maintain, I think Rodgers was right. We needed a total reset in the summer. You can't do that in January. There evidently was a way of spending money. Whatever happened in the summer, just it might be hindsight. If you're running a football club, you go, oh, it's very easy for you to say that here. I did say it at the time. Rodgers was right when he said we need at least 5 new players. We still do. The new boys have come in and they've been okay. I think Tete, you know, in bits. I'm not going to hammer any of them. I think it's difficult to come into a poorly performing side. It's far too late. And whatever happened in the summer, we've completely lost momentum and heads have dropped. And reason number three, if you just flip on.
Sorry.
That's all right.
First
next slide, please. The management of the squad, too many of the players don't want to be here. And this probably is the last reason why I am terrified. It doesn't matter to the players. About 50% of them will find new clubs. The ones that are still here are probably Championship players anyway. Maybe not Suter and Christiansen. I don't think Suter was particularly good. And it's that unfortunate thing on his neck that's done him for the header on the that hit the bar yesterday. But but beyond that, Vardy barely looks a Championship player now.
Jack, we decided to give him a new contract.
Yeah, well,
he scored one goal in the Premier League. Whose idea was that?
Well, I don't know. But anyway, the management of the squad, not very good. So, in conclusion, we're going down. We might sack the manager, might not. It's better that I get at peace with it at the moment. If we stay up, it will be the most satisfying and happy egging of my life. But thank you for listening to my TED Talk.
Wonderful stuff. Rick, before we come to you, mate.
Yep.
Lads, are we all in agreement, by the way, that we don't think Brendan is actually going to get sacked today or this week? We still all think he's going to get Chelsea.
Yeah, I don't think they'll sack him till the end of the year, to be honest. Well, the end of the season. Sorry, not the end of the year, the end of the season. And we've just got to stay in this division.
It might do. Why is there a squeaking like pink?
I was going to say, lads, do you want to talk amongst yourself? I think it may be because my battery is running out.
Okay.
So, Rick, do you want to get off your chest? And I'm just going to sort this out. I'll be back in about 5. This is good,
isn't it?
Will
do, yeah. So, yeah, just I'll give my thoughts. I don't think Rodgers will get the sack yet because if he would have gone by now. You know, they usually do it within 24 hours, don't they? And he's still here, sadly. So, as Jack says, I think we are going down. I admire what Jordan says, and I really hope he's correct because, you know, he keeps level-headed in a time where I've lost mine. It's fell off about, well, God knows how long ago, and I keep trying to put it back on, but it keeps falling off. I know it's so obvious that, yes, the problems run deeper than Brendan Rodgers, but he's the fall guy. He's also the guy that takes all the plaudits when we did well. And I do believe a manager has that art where they are the ones that they orchestrate everything when it's going well. And when it goes badly, if they can't arrest the slide, they're basically, there's no point in them being there. And there's no point in being there at the minute because it's pissing me off. And I can't stand the sight of him. But the thing for me with our, I don't know whether it's our fan base now, because I think there's enough that probably see that we are now in trouble. And there's a very real chance that we're going to get relegated. It's all coming a little bit too late if people are now thinking it's time. But I've got, you know, I love me analogies, but here's one for you. And this is what I think our fan base is like. If you put a toad into a boiling hot pan of water, it would squeal and jump out and go berserk and say, what have you done that for? But if you put a toad in a pan of cold water and gently simmer it on the hob, it will happily stay in there until it boils to death. And that's what's happening with Leicester. Some of our fan base are toads because they can't see what's been happening now for the best part of a year. We are going down. Brendan's lost all ability to positively affect this team and club. And sadly, he's got to be the fall guy because, yeah, John Rucking's at fault as well, but Top's not going to get rid of him anytime soon. The players take a lot of responsibility as well, and a lot of those are going to go in the summer, but they're not going now, and we're about to go down if we don't do something about it. So he's got to go, and he won't yet, so we're going to have to put up with this now. We're going to mope about on the pod for weeks on end. And we're going to go down, which is going to be horrendous. But unless something magical happens, but I don't see where we get minimum. What are we on? 24 points. I mean, 36, 37's going to be, yeah, and goal difference. Let's say 37 points keeps you up, which would be horrible going into the last couple of games against Newcastle and West Ham. I don't see where 4 or 5 wins come from. But things change quickly. But, you know, since the restart after the World Cup, we've played 10 Premier League games. We've got 7 points in those games. 6 of those came on the back of the 3 new signings near deadline day. So you could argue that's the new player bounce. That's long gone. So we've effectively, we are just losing. We're breaking records. We're an absolute disgrace. I just, where's it going to come from? I just don't see it. Can't even be bothered to talk about the game yesterday. We were crap. Yes, Jordan's probably right. We had enough chances to get something on it, but we're on our arse. We're in a crisis. You just want something to go right for you, and it's not. So, I can't offer anything.
We shouldn't have lost the game. That's the other thing. We lose far too many games. We don't seem to be able to salvage points from I mean, we should have at least scored one goal yesterday. Our XG was two. And we should have salvaged it. Just on his sacking, quickly, the only way I, and this isn't asking people to riot, managers get sacked by fans. The fan base hasn't completely turned. If you go on Twitter, you think he should have been sacked a year ago. If you go on Facebook, you think he's never going to get sacked. So there is a real divide amongst the fan base. If we lose against Chelsea and it turns ugly, then I could see him getting sacked. But I still don't think the fan base is entirely turned against him. And I mean, I'm a complete fence sitter on this argument, but I honestly don't think we have.
No. We'll obviously talk about manager and what could potentially happen and who we would want if that happened shortly. But I want to do like my monologue now of the actual game and some opinions, having now listened to your guys. And look, and you know, I think we're all fully aware, myself and Jordan, anyone listening, that Jordan doesn't really rate Ian Acho, and obviously I do. And that's kind of where we're still at. It's a difference of opinion. It's absolutely fine.
I'm not.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, sorry. Yes, I know you're not either. But that's football. You know, it's opinion. So I just want to go through the game and my take on those bits and pieces, and then we'll move on to the manager. And then I may need to wrap a little bit and lighten the mood. So we'll start with Ian Acho. Of course, he knows, everyone knows, he should have scored a couple of goals. But we can't really be leaving the blame solely at his door like I've seen so many people do. The reality is that since he's come back in the team, he's got six goal contributions in his last six games. That's more than any of the other attacking players. You know, strikers are going to miss chances. You can't blame them for missing chances. It's happened before. It's going to happen a million times again. Now, both headers, I know, Jordan, in terms of your analysis, they are massive chances, but both of them go just wide. The shot he has, again, I agree with you that it's the easiest one of the lot, but again, it hits the roof of the net. It's not like he's completely fucked it up. You know, they're fine margins and he's really close to scoring a couple and he doesn't. It happens. Over the course of the back end of this season, he's still going to score plenty of goals. I'm really confident of that. What we need to worry about is when strikers stop getting chances. That's why Vardy and Daka are on the bench, because they stopped looking like they were scoring. I've got a much bigger problem with Barnes. He was woeful yesterday, constantly giving the ball away, didn't look dangerous at all. Tete hasn't offered anything, lads, since his debut against Villa. Madison was off it yesterday. He's just not fit, so you can't be too critical of him. But again, it's one of them scenarios that, well, Madison isn't at his best, then Leicester don't win games of football. It's a massive problem. KDH, once again, really poor yesterday. His confidence looks shot to bits. I actually was trying to think of the last time I thought he had a good game of football, and I'm not sure when that was. Dennis Pratt comes on at half-time and once again offers absolutely nothing. And yet we find ourselves digging out Ian Acho, who was our most dangerous player. He was. And he kept trying, constantly showing for the ball, not hiding away like so many of the others. I just find the criticism that he gets baffling. Jordan, you mentioned it earlier. You even criticised him for the Southampton goal. Have you watched it back again?
Yeah, two or three times. He's so soft.
He's on the attack and he gets tackled very well by Lavia. He's absolutely no way to blame for that goal going in. He's going forward and there's no one to give it to and he's tackled well. Like, every time he gives the ball away, you'll jump on him and call him crap. And for some reason, we all stay incredibly silent every time someone else does the exact same thing. So why is it every time Ian Acho gives the ball away, we dig him out? You know, his hold-up play isn't the best. It's not. We know that. But everyone was woeful in possession against Blackburn, against all of them. Yet we only seem to go for Ian Acho. We lost 3-0 to Man United the other week. Now, if it wasn't for two world-class saves from De Gea, if it wasn't for two world-class saves from De Gea, Ian Acho would have had a goal and an assist. But again, we lose 3-0. Who's the first player we criticise? Ian Acho. Like, you can criticise a player all you like, right? If he messes up, you know, I can sit here and say he should have scored. We all know he should have done. But you've got to be consistent and criticise every single other player as well. And not just for some reason, digging out Ian Acho every single time. Like, there are loads of problems at this club with the players, with the staff. Like, in terms of priorities, Ian Acho is pretty low in terms of problems that need solving right now. And I've got a list of things that we can be angry about that performance against Southampton. Why on earth, first of all, are you playing a stupidly high defensive line against two strikers of both two significantly quicker than our centre halves. That's on the manager. Why, when Barnes came off injured, did we not have another winger to bring on? Because we sent two out on deadline day. We started the month of January short of wingers and ended the month with less than we bloody started. That's on the club. We said if we had any injuries to Barnes or Tete, we're screwed. And that's what's happened. Neither winger could get beyond their fullbacks yesterday, but we had absolutely no options to change it. None. Southampton should have been down to 10 men. Alcaraz stamps on Castagna's ankle.
Not for me. Not
Alcaraz for me. Literally begs the referee, Jordan, not to send him off.
That's
everyone watching on the TV studios and the commentary is saying red card. Yet, once again, none of our players surround the referee. Why not? Why are we not doing it? And then on Southampton's goal, Danny Ward manages to somehow shrink in the goal again. Jordan, I know you mentioned it earlier, but I'm sorry.
Harsh. I've watched that back, and I've watched it four times. I'm not the world's biggest Danny Ward fan, but I'm a bit like, the guy's hit it in the corner.
A top-class keeper saves it for me. And in my opinion,
I don't think he's a top-class keeper. But yeah, I wasn't watching the game live, and I thought, oh, it must be a howler. And I looked at it and went, it's a pretty good shot. And he's saved the penalty.
It's not howler. To be honest,
Jake, right, and it goes back to the Iheanacho point. It is a gent, and the only reason I hammer Iheanacho is because as soon as he has a good game, everyone's like, oh, why doesn't he play more? Because he doesn't play more because he plays like we saw last night. He's a 1-in-4, 1-game-in-5 player. He is, and Daka, for some reason, by the way, Daka's stats, if you look at them compared to Iheanacho, like for like this season, apparently one's had an absolutely incredible season and one's not. Iheanacho is an incredible sub. When he starts games, he's not that good. And it's the same, he's had a couple of good games for us, which is what he does, and then he's gone out of form again. He's not that good a player. And the reason I dig him out is because he's built up as this world beater, and he's really not. Like, there's a reason he's been our third choice striker, and he should be our second choice striker. Like, Rodgers has been right to try and get it out of Daka, because Daka's got more to his game than Iheanacho to be a top class striker. He's just lacking confidence, and it's not come off. So I haven't seen any, like, the criticism of Iheanacho. If Fox's talk is anything to go by, that has not been a thread that's hot. I've seen, like, criticism of, like, Rodgers. I've seen criticism of everyone else. I saw criticism of Suter, but I didn't see anyone have a go at, like, Iheanacho that badly yesterday. And he's missed three sitters. Like, they are absolute sitters. So I actually think it's worthwhile. Like, whether Jordan's being harsh or not, I don't know. But like the first, their goalie doesn't do particularly well, and his hold-up play is not always brilliant. So I don't think anyone's being particularly harsh. Like I think the middle ground with players is often the way to go. Iheanacho's fine, but he's not going to save our season, and we all knew that.
But he genuinely is better than what Vardy and Daka are offering right now, like significantly so.
I'm not sure he's better than Daka.
Daka can't get on the pitch. And just lastly,
neither can Iheanacho early this season.
Yeah, but because the system didn't suit him, and now he's in there, and he's the only person who looks like scoring. He is.
Well, he did,
like,
yesterday.
Has Daka ever missed three or four chances in a game?
But this now, is
I know
thing.
Missing. No, he's been, is
Daka's
issue,
finishing Daka is very good.
But he stopped getting chances.
He don't get chances.
Because he doesn't get in those positions. This is the thing. Like, people lay into someone like Darwin
Núñez. I don't think Iheanacho was in particularly outstanding positions to get the... I mean, he was standing in the middle of the box yesterday. Like,
yeah, it's the easiest thing in the world to when you look at a tap-in. But, like, ask Gary Lineker. It's about being in the right place at the right time. You know, you look at someone like Darwin Núñez. Now, he gets criticised for not being particularly clinical. But what people fail to recognise is that he makes most of those chances himself with his runs and getting into those positions. And he'll keep getting into those positions. And eventually, over the course of the season, he'll score 20 goals. He may miss 20, but he'll still get you 20. And unfortunately, Daka hasn't got the all-round game to get himself in those positions to score 20 goals at Premier League level. He just hasn't. Whereas Iheanacho will miss more chances and isn't as clinical as Daka. But over the course of the season, he'll create more goals. He'll link up more game play and he'll score more goals. And I say, with Daka, I haven't got a problem with him. As I've said previously, he's a good player and somewhere else he'll score goals in another league. But he's not going, he hasn't got the all-round game to play in the Premier League. He's just not going to get enough chances.
The other thing is, Jake, is, you know, we're on about the manager who carries the can. And I knew what would happen yesterday. As soon as we lost, I knew what would happen. The manager would get the blame. But the reality is, he's got three striking options that aren't really that good, and two, to be brutally honest, because Vardy's just been miscellaneous all season. And I'm not here to, you know, come on here and slag players off, but yesterday, there's nothing the manager can do about players missing chances like that. They're just so easy.
But this is why I've listed those other reasons.
Disagree.
This is why I've listed those other reasons other than Iheanacho, because there's nothing Rodgers can do about that. And also, there's not really anything Iheanacho can do about it. He's going to miss chances. Every striker misses chances. But what Brendan is responsible for is playing the high line. What Brendan is responsible for is the transfers in January and leaving ourselves short. What he is responsible for is geeing up the players and why are they not appealing? He has to be responsible for that. You know, he is also responsible for picking Danny Ward instead of Iversen. He's also responsible for the reason why we cannot come back in games of football. You know, he isn't to blame for Ian actually missing those chances.
We can come back in games of football because we come back in two. The high line I'll give you, and that is Brendan's stubbornness all over. You can play that when you've got Fofana or Soyuncu in your back four. You cannot play that when you... I mean, Suter, I don't think he's slow. Fares, I don't think he's slow, but they're not quick. So the line... And it's twofold, right? So playing a high line's fine, but doing that without players that are pressing up front, because we've pressed in two games, we seemingly have stopped pressing, and I don't know why. Probably because he's knackering them in training, because they all seem to be getting injured. So like the system does not work. It needs a slightly more pragmatic system. I can't remember where I was going with this, but like that is one thing that just makes no sense for me. And like I put that at Brendan's door. But there are lots of things that are outside of his control. The most worrying thing for me is we've stopped scoring goals now, and this has happened in a couple of occasions. We scored one goal in four games. And actually, since the break, if you take out the Villa and the Tottenham game, the goals have dried up. One thing we've always done under Brendan Rodgers is scored loads of goals. The goals are drying up now. And that's why I'm even more concerned, because that's what he does well.
And again, that's why I mentioned Barnes and Tete. What I found bizarre was that Tete was up against Kyle Walker-Peters and he didn't get round him once. They were both of them. I don't even know who was playing right back for Southampton. They were, what did the kids say? Pocketed. Like they literally were. Neither winger could get the best of their fullbacks, you know, And as I mentioned with Maddison, not quite on it, as an attacking threat, all of them need to be doing more, you know? And that's why, without sounding like a broken record, the fact that Iheanacho is getting chances doesn't concern me, because I said, over the course of the season, he'll score them. But I'm really concerned about Tete. I genuinely am, because he now just isn't looking anywhere near the same level as what I think we all thought he was. And the problem is, Rick, we literally do not have another winger on the bench. And if Harvey Barnes is injured, we've got no choice but to either persevere with Pratt or Maddison out wide, or change the system, of which we don't think Brendan's probably going to want to do.
No, I mean, he goes to three at the back as a last resort. And that we may well be in last resort territory. But I think, you know, obviously I've hung my reputation on the line with Tete, and he's not hit the heights yet. The only thing I would say there is the performance levels over the entire team in the last three or four games has been not good enough. I still would have expected him as a new player, full of confidence, to come in and not have been weighed down with the sort of, you know, what the other players have had to put up with in the last several months, where, you know, everything's not been great. But I think the one thing is we have stopped pressing. If you press, you create more space. The best thing under Brendan Rodgers when the teams are flying is we disrupt teams higher up the pitch. We turn the ball over. We've got wide players then to get the ball into. Madison's there. I don't know why we stopped it. Jack's probably right in his, you know, the players are knackered. He must have seen how well we played against Villa and Spurs and been like, that's the blueprint. We've got to do this now for the rest of the season. If we've got to stop training, don't train. Just let them watch films all day down at Seagrave and play darts and pool, and then just get them ready for the game, because they've gone out and hit the ground running. And because weirdly we get pressed and our defence don't like it, but then our attack don't do it, and then they're pushed back. Yeah, I mean, Tete, he's not been, has he? And, you know, Barnes, if he's injured, that's three ankle injuries in a week, which is just, you'd laugh, wouldn't you, if it was It's not funny anymore. It's like, it's sick.
You've not seen that since Elvis Hammond played for us.
Exactly. He managed to do about 4 ankle injuries a week, didn't he, to himself?
Yeah, it was about for about 18 months with a 2-week ankle injury. Yeah.
I think there might have been something else going on there from what I remember. But yeah, there you go.
I mean, the other thing, Rick, with the winger situation, why did he put Maddison on the left when we were losing 1-0 with 20 minutes to go? That didn't make sense to me at all.
I just presumed Pratt would play there.
Yeah, and I mean, Pratt, we're going over old ground. Pratt doesn't want to be here. He'll be gone in the summer.
Yeah. None of them want to be here. How many of them actually want to be here?
We're going over old ground here. with the high line, you either play a high line and stick to it, or you say, lads, this ain't working, we drop off 10. The goal came from doing neither. But the thing is with Suter, and you say it's the manager's saying we're going to play a high line. I'm not sure he is. I just think Fez just fucks off.
And no, it's a big problem, Fez.
I think Fez is not quite the player we thought he was. But Rodgers is so... He always talks about a high line. We've played a high line the whole time. There's a reason why our centre-backs do hamstring injuries. Like... nobody's business, because they're constantly sprinting back. Like, he's ruined Johnny Evans' career. I mean, he's also played his best football for us, so there's a balance to be had for the argument, but he is obsessed with a high line. He wants to push us, like, he almost wants our centre-backs beyond the halfway line, so that we close all the space. And we just can't do it. And Fez has just become the wrong sort of chaos. He was the right sort of chaos earlier on in the season, but he's the wrong sort of chaos.
The only way a high line works is if, as you've mentioned, everyone's pressing to the same level of intensity, or you've got a really good holding midfielder like we had with N'Golo Kante in front of Morgan and Hoof.
Or Ndidi when he was early on.
Exactly. Yeah. And like when we had Ndidi. But at the moment, we haven't. You know, and Papi Mendy, again, has his qualities, but he's also got, you know, weaknesses. And that high line doesn't work with Mendy sat in front of us. It just doesn't. We're far too exposed. And, you know, we saw it against Man United with the first goal. Fez comes rushing out and leaves the space behind him. And the line is then so high, people can't get back. There was an incident in the first half yesterday when it was out wide on, I think it was either Walcott or Adams.
What was he doing?
And he goes flying in, you know, and everyone knows it as a centre half. The moment you go to ground, you're then completely out of that phase of play because you're on your ass. And he just dives in. And he does it so often, he's drawn to the ball as opposed to holding his position and holding his line. And, you know, you defend your 18-yard box, you hold your line, you mark the man you need to be marking, but he just constantly wants to try and win everything. And he's playing us into trouble far too often. And he is. And, you know, as Jack mentioned at first, it was great. It was like, this guy is kind of Soyuncu, but not making the mistakes that Soyuncu was making at the time. But right now, he's playing, in my opinion, just as bad as what Soyuncu was when he got dropped. But at least with Soyuncu, he then maybe had that little bit more of pace.
Soyuncu's got more redeeming kind of features as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Soyuncu is quicker and he is tougher than Fez. Like, Fez is a bit slow. I also think Soyuncu is a better footballer than him as well.
I agree.
He's a big blot on Rodgers' book, in my opinion, actually, because why is he our fifth choice centre-half now? He's better than Amati. He's probably better than Evans. He's probably better than Fez. And I know he's leaving. I know he doesn't want to be here for whatever reason, but just get the best out of him. Like, players leave, get over it.
Do you want me to rap anyone, Liv and Mood?
No, we don't.
Rick said please. About the last resort, but during the COVID season and other season, we've done it before, played three at the back, 3-5-2, 3-4-3, 3-4-1-2, whatever it fucking is. Have we even got three centre-halves that we can play?
No, well,
Johnny Evans has been seen in training like 3 weeks consecutively, and he has got a smile on his face. So maybe that's what we do next week. And we weren't going to talk about Chelsea, but maybe Evans comes back and you play Suter, Fez and Evans and Castagna and Ricardo.
Because
the wingers aren't working. But Jake, I think you're right. KDH, I said this earlier. When have we won a game where he has played well?
Yeah,
he's very good, like a very good battling player in a losing cause. But like, doesn't win his games of football. Like, in the position he's playing in now, I'm like, he does not look comfortable in that position at all.
Yeah, and that's kind of I think, the problem in terms of what he's been asked to do. And I think it's an interesting one with KDH, because I do think we need to be a little bit, you know, what's the word, reserved in any criticism of him for now. You know, reason being, is he 23? And you think about his career to date, you know, he came through at Leicester.
Jake, he's 6 months younger than Youri Tielemans, I think.
Yeah, sure. But I'm just talking of it like life experience, right? So you come through the Leicester Academy system, you're the best player in the team, blah-de-blah. You go to Blackpool, you play really well. You go to Luton, you play really well, you're the best player. He then breaks into the Leicester first team. He's the young player of the year, players player of the year. At no point in KDH's life and career has he struggled for form. And now for the first time in his life, he's probably wondering the same thing, Jack, and thinking, why am I not playing well? Why is this happening to me? And because it's never happened before, he's struggling to find the answer for it. And he's playing in a team which is struggling at the moment. And you know, the reality is if Maddison was fit, if Tielemans was fit, and we had a holding midfielder playing well, you'd just bring KDH out to save himself. But we can't do that at the moment. And yeah, you're right, at the moment, in terms of when he's on the ball in particular, he's not playing anywhere near the same level of what a Premier League midfielder should. He's constantly giving the ball away. And even with the passes he is making, they're like, it's not in front of the player or to their feet, it's slightly behind them. Do you know what I mean? There's very small kind of details, but he's at least 5% off where an average midfielder should be. And I think he's confused and wondering the same as everybody else, why? And I don't know really what the answer is, because the problem is he's going to have to carry on playing in a struggling team. He's going to have to find form from somewhere. If this continues for like 6 months, then yeah, say, look, he ain't good enough. We need to pull him out. But I think we just need to be a little bit more patient with him and realise the situation he's in and the team's in.
I agree with that, Jake. Pure silence from Jack there.
Who do you play instead of him?
But that's Sumare? No, we haven't got anyone.
To be honest, I probably would play Sumare because I love him. I don't know why. I also think, like, I think Ndidi needs to, we need to get Ndidi back in his actual role of, like, stop trying to make him this, like, midfield ball playing midfielder. He's not, he's terrible with the ball at his feet. He's great at tackling. And he's quite a physical player. Like, we've tried to make him into something else. Just let him do what he does. That's when he's been at his best. But yeah, I don't know. I'd maybe play. I mean, it's a bunch of very poor options, but I would go three at the back, maybe even chuck a Marty in if Evans isn't fit, just to get some width, because the wingers aren't working. And I think Iheanacho is much better in a two. I'd play Dakar and Iheanacho up front. I'd put Iheanacho in the 10.
Yeah, I'd be more inclined to see Dakar in a two. I wouldn't be against that.
I'd put Castagne at one side, Ricardo the other.
Yeah. So when I talk about Dakar, it's in the 4-3-3. It doesn't work.
Yeah,
but as a two, I'm okay with that.
Right, Barnes might be out anyway, and Tete might need rest,
and he might be forced into this. Jordan, you sent a message earlier, being like the Everton Forest game is crap. Like both these sides are average, and you're absolutely right. I don't disagree with the word you said. Both those sides run, tackle, win headers, get in the face of the referee. And if we did those things, I think we'd stay up. But we don't do any of those things. And like, genuinely, that is what I think we need to do. I just think it's basics. So, like, make sure we win enough headers. Don't fill the side with a small team. Again, small team yesterday. I know Southampton weren't a particularly big team. But just be a little bit intimidating and just try and be, like, fill it with, like, the biggest, strongest players we've got. No pun intended, but I just think we're way too nice. And like Dyche, you know, I look at the Everton team and go, they've got Damari Gray playing up front. Like, they're dreadful, but they battled there and they got a point, which is more than we did.
Yeah.
With a worse team than we did. So it's just about doing the basics. And Brendan seems completely incapable of doing that, which is just beyond frustrating.
Well, I think someone said last week that teams are built in the image of their manager.
Yeah,
again, I think that's fair. But I know we've said we're going down. You look at the standard of some of the teams around us. You know, Leeds have won one game since November. Palace haven't won this calendar year. And they've got Man City, Arsenal and Liverpool, I think, then us. So we all know what's going to happen there. But for me, just change the system against Chelsea, like we've said. On Tete, I think he's very obviously one-footed, and he's just got to get used to the pace of the game and the physicality. And I think he had shown glimpses of his quality. Barnes could be injured. So play three at the back. Play this 3-5-2. Just something just to freshen it up. Breathe a bit of life into it. And, you know, against Chelsea, the way to go about it is what Jack said. Like, you've got to get in their faces. Don't give them any time on the ball. Make it a horrible game. Get in Fofana and Chilwell's ear. Try and get them booked and sent off. Because that's how we've got to play against them. They've got man-for-man better players than we have. But we just need to, you know, like, obviously, I'm pro Brendan, or I've always sort of backed Brendan, but something's got to change. We've got to somehow change this run of form. What's the harm in playing 3-5-2 and having Dakar and Iheanacho up front? It suits them both to play up front with the two.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Well, in all seriousness, it probably suits all the strikers now to play them as a two.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? In reality, we've seen Vardy and Iheanacho can do it. I think, yeah, Dakar definitely suits as a two. We've gone over an hour already, by the way, boys, and we haven't done Who Are You? We haven't re-mentioned Chelsea. We've not really spoken about the manager in terms of what we would want to happen. I mean, do we just not have that conversation for now because we're of the belief that Brendan's going to have at least one more game anyway?
Mm-hmm. I think so. But on George's point, I have a night out analogy for our football team, right?
Perfect. Go on.
This might be terrible, and if so, you edit it out. Basically,
I'm not editing anything out, by the way.
Leicester City are like a bloke who can't pull, right? They like they go out every night, and they're like the early doors. They're looking fantastic. They're wearing their best shirt. They're really smartly dressed.
Got their shagging gear on.
Yeah, got the shagging gear on, like you, George. As soon as they go into the club and it's a bit noisy and it's a bit hot, they start sweating. No one can hear what they're saying. And they'd never get served at the bar because people are just pushing in front of them. And like, honestly, like none of our players, I reckon, at a crowded bar would ever get served because they just like, they're way too polite and they let someone else jump in front of them in the queue.
Yeah.
I shouldn't feel offended, Jack, that when you come out with me,
I've just described myself, basically. George. I've just described myself.
But it's like the bang average bloke who's just that little bit louder and works that little bit harder gets the results.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, we look
we're not,
good.
We're not bad looking.
We promise much.
We're not the best looking team in the in the division, but we never pull.
Yeah. That was a good one, mate. I liked it. Good work. Rick, you're back. Feel like I've not heard much of tonight's episode, mate.
I feel like he's been stewing.
I'm beaten and beaten up by the football club, aren't I? I'll be better next week. But I don't know what to say, really. Don't know.
Do we need to rap anyone, Liv Amuda?
No, we don't.
Shall we play Who Are You then? And that will lighten the mood a little bit. Shall we do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, who's in charge? Is it Jord?
It's me.
Have you got someone?
I have got someone.
All right, beautiful.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
Wait a minute. Who are you?
My phone's been going mad, by the way, during this episode, of people messaging saying, where is tonight's episode? People, I don't know why people like to hear people moan, because that's literally what we're going to do. Well, the first 20 minutes, we don't actually talk about football. Then for the next 40 minutes, we just moan. But let's play Who Are You, shall we? Jordan, you are in charge, my friend.
I am. 2 points. One, I don't know why people want to hear from us. And two, it's not out till Monday morning anyway. Normally,
well, technically not. So,
if you subscribe, you hear it earlier, though, don't
so
you?
So, I publish the episode on a Sunday night. So, we record. So, this is useful for everybody. We record about kind of 6, 7 p.m. on a Sunday night. And then, as soon as I've edited it, I upload it. So, if you're subscribed on all the various channels, what is it, Amazon, Spotify, YouTube, and Apple, you can hear the episode on a Sunday night. But I don't put it on social media until Monday morning. So, there are people who listen on a Sunday night because for some reason or another, they just want to hear the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast. I'm as good baffled as you are. Exactly.
Good lad.
Yeah. Mm. The right, more the merrier.
Let's do it.
Yeah, come on then.
Right, we'll go with the standard opening question. I was born on the 30th of July, 1974.
Jack Holmes.
Ronnie Pickering.
His age is 48.
Turn that, Jake. Turn that off.
That was supposed to be Ronnie Bickering.
Ronnie Bickering. Who the fuck's that?
Yeah, me.
Well,
I got trigger happy and missed.
Sorry, Jude, I missed out.
Apologies for last night. So.
Look, you told me to put this in.
We've
here.
Created a monster. Yeah. This is completely ruining my train of thought. You two are quite good at this game as well.
I didn't hear the date of birth. I was too busy.
74. So what? And then you said he was 48.
He's 48.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah,
that's it.
Don't knock it.
No, I really enjoy when Rick like looks to the ceiling, like thinking wise. If you're listening on Spotify, Rick's facial expressions are extraordinary.
No.
Just try to think of left-footed right wingers that are 48.
So I thought it was his listening face. He puts his face really close to the camera.
He earned 88 international caps and represented his country at Euro 96 and France 98.
Bruno Engotti?
No.
Are they the only two tournaments he represented his country at? He didn't represent his country at any other?
No, but he got 88 caps.
That's a lot of caps.
It's a lot of caps.
Oh, say again the tournaments.
Euro 96 and France 98.
All right. No, it's not him then. I was going to say
Kishishev.
Correct.
Is it?
Yeah, he is. That's a great one, mate.
That is unbelievable.
Woo! Bosh!
That is very good. Two.
He's
two
still undefeated clues. In this as well. He's not. You've not lost a round when you've had a go at this, have you?
Well, I've not been saying a lot all day. Yeah. I've just been getting in the zone for this.
The silent assassin.
I've gave up on Leicester. I'm just now all about who are you and poems. And there's something else.
Good, well played.
There's something else I wanted to say. Actually,
yeah. Go on.
So do you know? Obviously, the football's the pits, but this podcast is getting quite popular. So if anyone's listening and they've got any products that they want us to review, any food they want us to try, send it in and then we'll review it. Especially if it's someone like Rustlers or Chicago Town Pizzas or anything like that. Little Scotch eggs you get from the corner shop.
Is this just be you reviewing it? I think that's what people really want.
We'd have one each.
A Ric Flair review.
We did have an email this week from Manscaped Razors, but we didn't.
Yes,
it was a family pod, but we didn't want to
hear.
It's
not the a review. Sexual day.
Well, I think I mentioned, didn't I, the other week that I was asked to do a photo shoot for Manscaped, and unfortunately, I was unavailable. And I say that like as if I dodged it, but I genuinely would have done it.
You should have.
So, We joke at some point if Manscaped or anyone of a similar variety want to offer us any kind of money whatsoever.
I'm not going to apologise to someone of that ilk.
No. And our swear jar as well, by the way, last week, because we mentioned the fact that we're getting a few sponsored ads now, and we've got 78p so far from those sponsored ads in the swear jar as well, which we're going to put the sponsored ads and the swears in so we can have a night out. I think last week we had about £5 in there, and we haven't been as bad today, have we? It's not been as many swears, which surprised me. I thought we were going to hit double figures, but we haven't. We've been relatively well behaved. Should we talk about Chelsea then up next?
Snakes, a lot of them.
Yeah, can I bring like inflatable snakes with me to the King Power next weekend? Seeing as that Twitter's probably going to have me blocked by this time next Saturday, I'm just going to have to bring them in person. But look, it's Chelsea up next at the weekend. And look, sod's law, they bloody won. So they could now be kind of turning a bit of a corner, which is a bit annoying, isn't it? Because they've been crap for ages now. So I was looking at this fixture thinking maybe not too bad. Still don't think it's too bad. Still give us half a chance. Yeah, half a chance probably. We'll see. You never just quite know what to get with us, do you? I've said it many times before that we are a streaky side under Brendan Rodgers. We lose a load of games, win a few games, lose a load more, then win a few. After the World Cup break, we lost loads, won a couple. Now we're losing again. Maybe it's time to turn again. Yeah, I don't really know what to add to that, really, because Chelsea are a very strange side indeed. Not scoring many goals at all, are they? But with the players that they've got, you just can't help but feel, Jack, at some point they're going to start getting good.
I mean, they
are you not must worried
be,
about them?
Yeah, they must be licking their lips, right? Perfect side to play. We don't win many games at home. Graham Potter's already spanked us 5-2 this season. They've got two of our old players who will blatantly both score against us.
I actually don't think I can take that. I'm going to lose my voice booing on Saturday, genuinely.
Boom. Do you know what will be even more annoying than them scoring? Madison will both do a he'll do a silly handshake with both of them.
Honestly, I can't even put into words how much I dislike Ben Chilwell, and I know that's really unprofessional for me to say, but I actually cannot stand the bloke.
Why does he always wear a beanie hat? Like, always. Like, it's not even cold. He's always wearing a beanie. Like, no idea. Beanie and shorts. Like, it's just, it's not fashion, Ben. You look like a plank.
For me, I mentioned this in the group. He's a wannabe tryhard. Like, he's that kid, right, who was obviously good at sports, but was never like the cool kid, was never like quite, you know, the top of anything. So he always attached himself to the other ones.
Mate, Jake, he's a millionaire.
I know, but I'm talking in like his professional footballer terms. Needless to say, Ben
had the last laugh.
Fine. In comparison to my life, sure. But just to me, he feels like someone who is actually quite insecure and he needs to attach himself to cooler people and better
people. Did you see that he put up some like Instagram workouts during COVID? You would have got really rattled by them.
I think I've been
blocked. The form was not to your liking. He wasn't doing proper pull-ups or anything. That was my other thing you've done on Twitter this week. You've said, Harry Kane's not doing proper pull-ups, honestly.
I've become a full-on Twitter troll.
You have.
It's quite bad. But again, look, was I right? Was Harry Kane doing proper pull-ups?
I didn't watch it, mate. There's many different types of pull-ups, Jake. You might have been doing CrossFit. I don't know.
So this is what angers me, right, about the gym. When you've got people in the gym and they're doing exercises and there are PT instructors there, gym instructors there, who just watch people do exercises wrong. First of all, that really annoys me. You're literally paid to make sure people do things correctly.
That's how we get half our injuries, I imagine.
I'd imagine, yeah. So first of all, why is the coach who stood right behind Harry Kane not telling him he's not doing the pull-ups correctly? And then secondly, why is many, many people watched that video and thought it's a good idea to post it and nobody's pointed out that the pull-ups are not right? It just angers me. And it probably shouldn't, but I've become a full-on Twitter troll. And as I'm speaking out loud throughout the course of this podcast, I think I need to take a break from Twitter.
Well, Ben Chilwell actually messaged my friend's girlfriend on Instagram once.
Snake, mate.
So I don't
like
him.
What did he say?
Oh, you like this.
I bet he's got awful chat as well.
Oh, yeah, yes. He just you know, as the kids say, slid into her DMs.
Yeah.
And he just put...
Like a snake.
And basically all my mates used to comment on his photo, hi. So there's just loads of messages, and apparently Vardy noticed it and was like running around training going, hi.
Oh, was it?
Apparently. Well, it's true. That's
quite right. You can imagine Vardy doing that. By the way, is anyone, if you ever go on any photos of Paul Collingwood, the comments are quite good over the last few weeks. Unrelated to this, but like, yeah. If you know, you know.
No context, Collingwood.
It wasn't very good for. I used to sit near, like when I used to go to away games, I used to sit near his mates, and they were very sensitive because Chilwell always used to get slagged off playing for us, and his mates would be like, "Oh, you can't say that." I'm like, "You can, he's shit." So yeah, there we go.
So yeah, he best not score or best not play well. Rick, are you going to boo?
Otherwise, he's getting egged.
Can we egg Chilwell?
No, we can't do that because like we'll all get lifetime bans if everyone starts egging.
What a way to go out though! If you're going to get banned from Leicester, egging is the way to go. I hadn't thought of that. I'm wondering whether I should do myself a favour and get banned.
I did think this, right? You know, like Liverpool when the opposition bus is going through with Champions League games and they're throwing all sorts of stuff and a lot of it's quite violent. I was like, maybe it could be the most Leicester thing ever. When the opposition thing turns up, like everyone's got a dozen eggs and they're absolutely,
It'd be like the tennis ball protests that clubs used to do. We just do eggs on the pitch.
Like a protest that's not going to hurt anyone. only with sort of, you know, feelings. It's only going to hurt their feelings. It's not going to cause any damage. That's what we need.
I agree, Jack.
That's It'd be great. A nightmare for the groundsman, wouldn't it?
Shells. Oh, all our players would get injured by getting like they get shell in their legs or something. Like, they get really bad cut or something out for 12 weeks. And then,
Rick, are you nervous about the game, mate? Are you going to be going?
Yeah, I mean, it's a horrible proposition, isn't it? As you say, Chilwell, Fofana. You've not even mentioned one of the biggest helmets in the Premier League, Mason Mount. Yeah. And
I'd put him in the same category as Chilwell.
Yeah, I would.
Just a not cool tryhard.
I'm sure he's not that bad.
Mace. Mate, you call him Mace, don't you?
And they call Mace, Harry Kane H.
I feel like I've been maced every time I have to watch him. But the other arch nemesis of mine, Graham Potter. So, you know my feelings on Potter. So he's
like Malfoy from Slytherin, you.
So, I don't know. I'd snap your hand off for a horrible 0-0, which they don't score many goals, and we have stopped scoring goals but can't keep a clean sheet. So, yeah.
I'll tell you who we've also not mentioned, and he's a good player, but Yao Felix, just someone smash him to pieces. He just falls over all the time.
Unless he's chopping other people down.
Just take a red. Just put him out for the season.
Kai Havertz is quite annoying as well. All their players are quite annoying because they're all mercenary. They all basically threw their toys out the pram to get moves there.
We're all filled with hate, actually, aren't we?
And Ruben Loftus-Cheek played right wing back yesterday, which is odd.
It's mad, isn't it, how they can spend RLC. £1 billion and still Ruben Loftus-Cheek is playing for them. It's quite bizarre, isn't it?
It is odd. But
aside from their players, it's also just a really horrible part of London, just full of not very nice people.
It's like Parsons Green.
It's like Parsons Green. Let's not go there.
That's Fulham. That's Fulham. Right. It's close. We don't need to go to Fulham again. But Chelsea's not very nice. Horrendous. Has anyone ever had a good night out in Chelsea? No.
I've never been out in Chelsea. I'm not that posh.
Have I? No, I haven't. No, I've been, obviously, I used to live in Fulham, so I've been out in Fulham. I haven't been out in Chelsea.
No one's had a good night out in Chelsea.
But then technically, if you want to be really picky, Stamford Bridge is pretty much in Chelsea. Is in Fulham. Stamford Bridge isn't actually in Chelsea. It's in Fulham.
And we are
fans always like to pull that out. I know, but just saying in terms of the area. Anyway, we digress. There's been very little football analysis during this podcast, which is probably why I've enjoyed this one most of all. We have now been going nearly hour 20, which I think is the record time limit on this podcast. Is there anything else? Don't think there is there? Rick, I haven't heard anywhere near enough from you today, mate.
I know, I'll be better next week. I've got things on my mind and children to look after, but we have just smashed a glass kettle, which is nice, so I need to go and tidy that up. I've not got a lot else to say. I'm just hoping something happens in the next week that makes next week's podcast a little bit easier for us to all deal with. You know, at least a point or three, or at the very least, it's one game closer to the inevitable and Brendan hopefully buggering off. But I'll be on better form next week, I promise.
Just because everyone will ask, if Brendan Rodgers does get sacked. Yeah. As we said, we don't think it will, but if we get sacked, are we going to do another emergency podcast?
Yeah, we are. And there's someone that we're going to get on who is very good with...
Is it Nigel
knowledge.
Pearson?
No. Oh. It's not. No, we can't get Nigel back. But anyway, we'll get someone on who knows far more about European football managers than we do, so we can actually have a sensible discussion about who we're replacing with.
Okay.
I know who you mean, Jack, actually. And he also gave Tete a 9.5 out of 10, didn't he? So he can come on and back me up as well.
So you're both
what's been happening.
This could be the weekend for Tete, couldn't it? This could be his arrival this weekend.
Yeah. Well, look, mate, obviously still hope he comes good. There still looks like there's a player there, but we've got to mention that he hasn't done anything since that debut. Lads, let's leave it there. It's going to be a strange week, isn't it? Up until Chelsea an entire week. We've got to kind of mull over what's happened already in the last couple of weeks to see if anything does happen. As we've said, we don't think anything will. We think he'll get at least one more game. And I mean, God knows, I mean, how many more he gets after that. We'll have to wait and see. But look, hopefully you have enjoyed this podcast. I hope you've enjoyed how little we've actually spoken about the football. I think there's about 20 minutes in the middle where we kind of argued about Iheanacho, and that was about it, to be honest. But I've enjoyed it very much. Jack, have you had a good birthday?
This has cheered me right up. So, and Rick's poem was tremendous. Like, I'm really touched by that, Rick. Thank you very much.
That's very
no
nice.
Worries, mate.
All right then, lads. We'll leave it there, and we're going to play out a bit more of the Manic Street Preachers. And by the way, I went through their back catalogue, and in terms of looking for like a sad, miserable song with, you know, lyrics that we could relate to that performance, I could have chosen pretty much any of their songs, but we went with this one. Enjoy your week, and yeah, we'll catch you next Sunday or Monday, depending if you're subscribed or not.
Apologies for last night. So,
do you want me to rap anyone? Lift the mood a bit.
No, we don't.
Come on, who are you, lad?
Ronnie Pickering.
Who?
Ronnie Pickering.
Who?
Ronnie Pickering.
Who the fuck's that?
Yeah, me.
Enjoy your week. See you next week, guys.
Sports Social Podcast Network.